Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. It is Sunday, June 7th, 2026. I'm Shaw Gage on Sunday morning. Glad to be hanging out with you today. Hope everything's going well. Hanging out with an old relative of mine, friend of mine too, everything in between, Craig McCoy, a.k.a. Craig the Catholic. How you doing, Craig?
Good. Good to be with you, buddy.
Man, I'm so thankful for you taking time out of your busy schedule, and you're just holding things down and down there in the New Orleans area, aren't you?
Yes, sir, man. We're loving it. By the way, you have a beautiful radio voice. I don't know if anyone's told you that, but you really do have it. I'm relaxed. I'm calm. You put me at ease. I was nervous, and your voice, you know, calmed me down. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you for the compliment. You know, I like to do the old Rodney Dangerfield joke and say, you know, hey, my family's always told me I had a face for radio, you know, so.
Which is true.
And look, don't think they haven't taken their shots when they could, because it's, you know, you got to love family. They'll keep you humbled real quick and keep you in your place.
That's for true. Yes, sir.
Well, and interestingly enough, you are family, man. Known you my whole life. Just your grandmother, we were talking earlier, your grandmother and my great-grandmother were sisters, correct?
Correct.
So
that is correct.
And I guess just the way people have kids, you know, generations kind of expand and contract and all that, that by the time it got to me and you, we're actually a generation different, but we're the closest in age of all of them, I believe.
Closest in age. Yes, correct. And that, yeah. And then, well, and we talked, you know, of course, y'all were in Birmingham and we were in New Orleans, but we would spend time. We would come to visit and stay with Granny, who we called Nana.
That's right.
You know. And that's what, you know, we were initially talking, that's where the seed was planted, I think, for all of us. Because Nana was just so into the word and into the love of the Lord. She would go to funerals of people she didn't even know and, you know, go to pray. That's who she was. She wanted to make sure they were going where they needed to go. And, just a beautiful woman, man, and we were blessed to have her.
Oh, man, there's no doubt. And I was blessed, too, you know, at a young age. She went to the Canterbury Methodist Church, and that's where the grannies went, the old lady workshop, I'll call it, to do their knitting and their arts and crafts and all that several days a week. And I went to the same church as my preschool, and so I got the experience going. She would pick me up and take me, and a lot of times we just go over to her house and hang out, and, you know, she'd give me Cokes and cookies and whatever I wanted. Spoiled rotten, of course, right? Going over to Granny's house. But you're right. She did love the Lord, man. That was definitely something, some seeds she planted in this family that are still sprouting today, and it is beautiful.
Yes. Amazing. Amazing.
Well, very cool. Well, again, thanks for coming in. We're going to be hanging out today, just chatting with Craig McCoy, a.k.a. Craig the Catholic. And there's a story behind that we're going to have some fun with. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Craig here on the other side on Sunday morning. Craig the Catholic hanging out with us on Sunday morning. Craig, how in the world are you doing, brother?
Dude, I'm doing great, man. And we really need to explain that name, because some people are going to be like, what? The Catholic?
right. Absolutely. So, you know, we did talk about that. You know, we've stayed in touch through the years. And, man, you found the Lord several years ago and opened your heart to Him. And it was just such a cool testimony. And just want to start there and kind of give people a background. Like, man, what growing up, you know, when it came to Jesus and faith and church and, like, man, where were you? Because, you know, we didn't talk about that a lot as when we were young people. We do now that we're older. But just kind of what was your perspective on the grand scheme of things? Did you even think about it?
You know, it was of course, I was baptized Catholic. Like I said, August 20th, 1972 was the day. You know, so it was, you know, not but a couple of weeks after I was born. And so, of course, I don't remember that. I saw pictures of it.
Right.
But
you were there.
Then, you know, yeah, I was there. And then, but we were also raised in going to the church on Sunday. You know, that was the thing, going to Sunday Mass. You don't miss your Sunday Mass. And so we did all that, got my first communion, beautiful time. And then, as kids are, we're a little reckless and we switch schools. So I got switched in the middle of second grade to another school. And that was still a private school, but had a catechism. So like we said, that's where I remember the Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he, so that's like a seed. It's planted, And so then later on, got switched into the Episcopal school, which is very similar, as we talked about, Catholic, similar structure and thing, except, the priest is able to marry. That's a difference. And, there's subtle differences, not too much, but still a faith in Jesus and knowing the Lord, knowing, like I said, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And so that was there. And then got switched to a Catholic high school. So I'm all over the place. Back to the Catholics. And, still had that structure there. There's always that, there's God's way. If you stay close to the Lord, he's going to be close to you. It's almost that sort of thing. Then as we get older, the world calls us, Shaw, as you know. And it can be a mighty powerful thing calling you out there. And you get away from the church, and you think maybe you don't need the church. You're doing things on your own. It's a foolish thought, but sometimes when you're young, that's how you think.
No, I think you're right on. I think I'm guilty of it even still today. I mean, I got this. God doesn't need, he's got plenty going on. He doesn't need me, right? But that's exactly what you're talking about.
Correct. Same sort of thing. So, but then eventually just got away, and, did all the drinking, the drugging, all that, the partying, all the stuff that we were told not to do. Fortunately, met my wife, and she reeled me in, and my mother still thanks her to this day for it.
I'm sure. Yeah, as we all are, man, for sure.
Yes, yes. And, and she, she had a beautiful private, which is what it all is. It's your relationship. It's your walk with God, and everyone's personal, And but she had that good seed, and it was there. So we eventually got married. Beautiful, went going through life. But you still, I was trying to get us into churches, and you can't find the right one, and all that stuff. Well, then, boom! Let's go all the way to July 3rd of 2015.
Okay.
That's when I was baptized, non-denominational church. I basically had been away. I was scared to go back to the Catholic church. I thought I was going to catch fire, literally, if I walked through the doors. So I started going to this men's group 3 years prior to my baptism, July of 2015. And we would meet in an upper room, and it was all men, and our buddy Frank would feed us, and then we would talk about the world. We would go through scripture. We would read scripture. It was just a coming together, men being together and loving the Lord. And, you see all this in the world. And this is back then. This is back, 2011, 2012. You thought it was bad then.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but that was just a beautiful, I needed it so bad. And then I believe I got Holy Spirit that day when I got that baptism. Like, he really just came back to me, because that whole week I was preaching to people in the in the grocery store, and I'm not that guy, man. I'm going up to people trying to tell them about Jesus and how he loves them, and he loves all, and people looking at you like you're crazy.
Well, yeah, but you had that. So you had that fire, right? You had that Holy Spirit moment, and man, you're telling, you want everybody to know.
Totally on fire. You want everybody to know. And, not everybody wants your message sometimes, but I didn't care, and I don't care still.
No, that's just it, because it's not you they're accepting and rejecting, right? It's, man, the Holy Spirit is moving, and if you feel led to share with somebody, I'm a firm believer you're just supposed to share, and that's God lays something on your heart, do it, and you'll be blessed for it.
And I remember when people try to reach out to me and the rejection and you know, and the only thing I can think of is, man, there must have been something deep in me. There had to be something that shrieked at the sound of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Like just somebody trying to talk to me about it, you know? So, anyway, that happened. So, which is amazing. That really totally changed my life. You know, being accountable before your sins, even the, you know, every sin is equal.
Totally. Well, let me ask you this. So at that was that aha moment, right? That was you're meeting with this men's group, you know, these 3 years are going by and then finally you just can't contain it. You're like, man, I got to do this, right? I got to get baptized.
Yes. Oh, yes. Correct. So I was meeting with that. I was like, I need to get myself cleaned. You know, you're filthy. I felt filthy rags. You know, we read it in the script. I'm like, man, that's how I feel. So, and that was amazing. And I'm so happy that it did. And so I continue, you know, with my faith and reading my word and being, you know, and sometimes life will get to you and you'll get a little off course and the Lord brings you back. No matter what, he'll put things in your way. Like, for example, I was totally healthy when I was baptized, July 15th. Now I have a severe spinal cord neck injury. I have, my pancreas doesn't work. I have type 1 diabetes. But I'm joyful in my afflictions, man. You know, like St. Paul would say.
Oh, I was about to say, yeah.
You know, it's because you're going to be thrown into the fire, and it's best to have the fire of Jesus with you, man, to go through these trials, because we're all going to face them, you know. And you think there's a thing, go, how could God do this? How could God, hey, stop blaming God, you know, this is how it is. This is, you know, this, there, you will suffer. Your suffering will save souls, believe it or not. You know, what you endure. And just like I said, it brings you closer to him. And like we talked, I must decrease so that he can increase.
Yes, yes, 100%. 100P, as we talked about last week on the show. But yeah, 100%, that is absolutely spot on, because I don't know how people, when you go through stuff, if they don't know, they don't have a relationship with the Lord, if they've never experienced the power of prayer or faith or anything in that manner, man, how do you get through it? And it's just, I know the struggles I've been through, the struggles you've been through, we've talked about this, is it's just that trusting the Lord and going, yeah, man, I was healthy as a horse before this happened. And not that that's why this happened, but you're going to go through things. He's going to allow you to go through things. And I think it's so that we can go just glorify God in those. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's just like, that's what we're supposed to do. And then down the road, you have been able to encourage others. You've certainly encouraged me. I know your family members have been encouraged and other friends. I know that. But it's just, you got to let Jesus flow through you, right? Right, and that's by the Holy Spirit.
That's it. And then, all right, so let's get to the Catholic part.
All right, well, hey, I tell you what, we're going to step aside.
We'll go back.
For just a second, and we're going to come back on the other side and pick it up with Craig, the Catholic. I love it. And again, not judgmental. We're joking about that. And it's, look, the denomination doesn't make or break you. The church attendance, the amount of money you put in that offering plate, none of that matters. It's your heartitude. It's your heartitude with Jesus, and what are you really living for? We're going to keep talking about this. So glad you're on. Give us a few seconds. We'll be back here on Sunday morning. Back in with Craig McCoy. Craig, man, you know, just in between segments here, just cutting up with you. It's just so fun, man, just to laugh. I had another cousin. I don't know if you knew any of the Gages, Becky and Billy Gage, over in Lake Arthur, Lake Charles area, on Dad's side.
I knew of them. I didn't get to meet them.
But Becky was on last week. I mean, she and her sister-in-law and one of her daughters, Ashley, were coming through. They've been up in Chattanooga area doing some whitewater rafting and just called and said, hey, can we do this? You know, and they were doing a pretty cool ministry. ministry, and she likes to laugh, and you like to laugh, and that's just what makes, man, life fun. But thank you again for coming on, and it's just cool to have you here. And, you know, if you knew Craig and you knew me back 40 years ago, gosh, it's hard to believe we can say that. But, you know, we weren't in the right place. We were doing a lot of, we thought, fun things, but things we probably shouldn't have been doing. But, you know, I identify with something you said earlier, Craig. You mentioned, you know, hey, when you kind of get through it and you're going through the motions as a young person, you get away from the church, and then you realize you have that aha moment, that Holy Spirit moment of, okay, it's not about me. It's about the Lord. It's about serving others and serving Him. And but then you go, all right, well, what about the people that I knew growing up and when I was younger? And you made a comment in the last segment just kind of saying, hey, man, I wasn't sure I wanted to go back to the Catholic Church where I grew up because, man, I might burst into flames or whatever that might be. What do you think was driving that, and has that perspective changed in any way?
Oh, tremendously, yes. It's, you know what that was? That was my naiveness, my not knowing the Lord. Man, He loves us no matter what, you know? No matter what you've done, He loves you.
Oh, yeah.
There's the worst of the worst out there that have been brought back to the Lord, man. You know, like, and some, unfortunately, sometimes you have to get down to that level before you realize it, and hopefully it doesn't get too low for you, you know?
Well, it's that old say, you know, so I used to say, and I still say, sometimes you got to hit rock bottom before you start looking up.
Yes, and who knew rock bottom had a basement?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Man, so
yeah,
true.
So it depends, you know, and what you think, maybe what you thought was rock bottom really isn't rock bottom.
No, and that, you know, it's something that's so true that you think you got it bad, but, you know, it can always be worse, right? We've talked about that on here before. I've shared with you, I think, Craig, but Tatiana, which was a lady that encouraged me when I was going through all my cancer treatments, and it was, you know, she told me, she said, there's always somebody that's got it worse. And I would be like, yeah, I know, but let me have my pity party. But then I did get over it, and I did get through it through the faith that I have in Jesus Christ and that Holy Spirit moment of allowing Him to flow through me. And I began to just say, hey, how can I focus on others? And then I found out years later that when Tatiana passed away, I met her in the Vanderbilt Cancer Clinic as just, I thought, another patient. But found out later that she was actually from Chernobyl, Russia. She was there when that thing blew up in the 80s. And she was on her fourth different type of cancer when I met her at Vanderbilt. And there she was, a foreign lady in a foreign land, no family, no friends to speak of, standing there in their fourth different type of cancer, encouraging little old stage 2 multiple myeloma Shaw, you know? And it's like, If she can do that, why can't I? And it's that same spirit of Christ, right? I mean, He's just encouraged and just, man, serving others and inspiring others. And so that's what we try to do here each and every week. And don't want to get too far away from your story, but back to what you're saying. So when you have this revelation and you're going, hey, where do I go to church? What was your thought process through all that?
Well, and unfortunately, our church that was right here that we loved going to had closed down and had moved, you know, some 40 minutes away. So we were kind of like, what do we, you know, we're without a church. So good thing is I have a great buddy who I grew up with, my buddy Lance, and he has been through the ringer. He has been, He's one of those guys who has been through, like, you look at it, you go, wow, thank goodness I didn't have to go through that. But he made it out on the other side, and he was going, you know, and he explained, you know, we were talking about the Eucharist, the body, blood of Jesus Christ, you know, and a lot of churches don't believe in it. And I really looked into Eucharistic miracles and, you know, just the different testing that was done on different miracles that have happened within just the last 40 years, for example. And I'm talking about where it will turn to blood. The Eucharist will turn to blood. And they, you know, they'll test it. They find out that it's AB blood. It's from the left ventricle, I believe, of the heart. So it is heart tissue is what it tests as, which is amazing, you know. And like I said, everybody's journey is everybody's journey. And I was like, whoa, why the Catholics? Lord, why are you calling me back? But he puts this in you and you just start researching. And the more and more I would research, I was like, wow, you know, this doctrine is very sound. And I really want to participate in this. So, and that's, you know, what brought me in, brought me back. And look, Shaw, like I said, I went fighting it like Jonah and the whale. You know, I'm like, whoa, we ain't going back.
Yeah, not me, Lord. I've been there, right? I know. You know, yeah, I get it 100%. You know,
and I'm looking at, and there's several different churches in our area and going to different ones, and they didn't feel right. But when I went there, it felt right. And I don't know if that's from my early days, but I felt the comfort as a child, yep. You know, and like, that's a big thing. Come as a child. Don't be this adult who knows everything. And really, when we look at it and life hits you and knocks you, and you feel like a child. Like, I still feel like I'm that little kid. Like, yeah. When we were going around that World's Fair in 1984 together.
Yeah, which was not that long ago, but oh, so long ago, right?
Oh, so long ago.
That was, man. That was, yeah, that was a good time. That was wild, you know, it was. But it is. It's that same awe, that same, man, this is, it's not that the World's Fair was reverent, but you're looking at all the stuff in awe as a kid. But to your point about the Catholic Church, it's one thing I do appreciate about the Catholic Church is that the formality of it, the ceremonial of it, the honor in it, you know, I just think it's really cool. And I still, when I go to a, you know, we were blessed to get to go to Italy a few years back. And man, I just enjoyed, number one, the air conditioning. But no, secondly, I would get off the streets. I would go into those little chapels just to get off my feet. And it was like a Catholic chapel type of a place. And it was so cool because it was the most beautiful artwork, beautiful. The most beautiful just reverence. That's the word I was looking for earlier.
Yes.
I've always respected that. And I can only imagine for you, like growing up in the Catholic faith, not really getting the relationship with Jesus part of it at that point, but then stepping away, doing life, having your aha moment, realizing it is about being the hands and feet of Jesus, accepting that. And then you're going, okay, where am I supposed to make an impact? And the Lord brings you back to the Catholic Church. So, man, it's like a glove, right? It has to be that comfortability of the ceremonial stuff and just that part of being a part of that process. But now, even cooler is you got the gospel, man. You got that personal relationship with Jesus, and man, you're carrying that with you. That's so cool to see.
And that's what I love. And look, that's what really got me. So I'm a lecturer. So I get to read the word, and like on Sundays, I get to do two readings, you know, so I'm like blessed with that. And yeah, sometimes the words are hard and these names that they come up with for these people back in those days, I can say them out loud.
Well, hey, you just keep going. You know, I mess up stuff on here all the time, but you just keep going, man. That's what makes us human. Anybody that's perfect. Come on. Anybody can do that.
That's it. And there's actually rules to lecture that if you mess up, don't you go, oh, I'm sorry, I messed up. You can't say
that. No, just keep going. Plow through. Hey, man, that we're going to talk about something you just made me think about in just a few minutes. We're going to take a break and come back on the other side with Craig McCoy on Sunday Morning. Craig, man, it's such a pleasure to have you on this morning, man. I just can't thank you enough for taking time out of your schedule, and so cool what God's doing in your life. And, you know, as you were sharing earlier about growing up in the Catholic faith, I have a lot of family in the Catholic faith, and it's just when you step away from it like you did and then to come back, and, you know, it's kind of like, man, what's going to happen? Are they going to accept me? Am I going to burst into flames? I know we joke about that, but, you know, there are some serious, like, man, what ifs that you got to be asking yourself. And, man, just when you were sharing that in the last segment, it was just a good reminder for me about, you know, St. Patrick. You know, and I think we talked about this the other day, but St. Patrick, you know, everybody thinks it's about green beer and March 17th and pinching somebody for not wearing green and all that, and that's true, right? But St. Patrick is known as the, I guess he was he saved Ireland, right? He was the first priest to go over there and evangelize, I guess would be the word. And he drove the snakes out of Ireland, supposedly, right? That's the legend. And but he was. He went and he spread the gospel in Ireland and really saved a whole country. And I did some studying years ago about St. Patrick, and one thing I didn't realize was, man, when he was a young boy, he was kidnapped by some pirates, and these pirates took him away, and they shipped him off, and he went to this island, and he was a slave, basically. He was put to work, and he was way mistreated, as you can imagine. It was just child labor or whatever, and no telling what he had to endure through those years, and you can only imagine the questions he had to be asking himself as this kid had been kidnapped and taken away from his family and his home country. And but God gave him a vision one night and told him that he needed to swim out into the ocean and he was going to be rescued. And so with nothing to lose, he jumped in the ocean, he swam out, and lo and behold, he was saved. A boat came by and saved him, and he told him where he was from, and they figured it out, and they took him back to his homeland. And man, he was reunited with his family, and just everything was great, and sitting there going, all right, here's my aha moment. I've been saved, and God, I'll do anything. And God says, okay, I want you to go back to Ireland. And that's where he had been kidnapped. They had taken him to that island. It was Ireland, where he had been serving against his own will. And he had been a prisoner, a slave, whatever you want to call it. And God said, okay, I saved you and I brought you back home, but now you're going to go back to the very place that tortured you and captive, held you captive and all that kind of stuff. And he did it, right? And he was obedient. And it's a similar parallel to kind of what you, I mean, not that you're having to go back to another country, but you're going back to a group that you're like, hey, is this, are they going to welcome me?
Yes. Yeah, or did I want to go there? The Catholic Church has been under a lot of scrutiny, buddy. There's been so much scandal, of course, over the years with the harm that has been done by some of the priests in the church. And I couldn't stand for that. That was, but then I thought, I was like, man, I really am letting some man's actions get me away from the Lord, or many people for that matter. A lot of people walked away from the Catholic Church during that time. And but then I looked at this moment as like, wait a second, maybe he needs this. This is his church. We need people in there who are going to do the right thing. I need to go there. I need to be in this church. The devil's going to attack whenever. He attacked us earlier. We couldn't get the broadcast recorded. He's always going to come. And, of course, he's going to attack our churches. That's going to be a main place.
And, sure is.
And there's going to be good and evil everywhere, man. I focus on me. I try not to look to the sides. I look straight and be looking at the Lord is how I've been trying to live. And and just recently, within the past year, I've changed so many habits as far as like radio stations in the car. I love K-Love. I'm listening to K-Love radio all the time now, or our local Christian radio, and just that change in my life has been tremendous, because music is a thing. Look, the devil was a musician, man. He was.
Well, yeah, and just noise too, right? I mean, I had this revelation back in January of this year, driving to the hunting camp back in, I think it was early January, and it was so loud when I got in the truck that morning in the neighborhood, I turned the radio off. You kind of jump in, you turn it on, it's like, blaring, and I just turned it off real quick so I wouldn't wake the whole neighborhood up. And anyway, I started driving, and I ended up driving an hour and a half to the hunting camp and never turned the radio on once. And it was so early in the morning that there was no phone calling going on, no customers or friends, nobody was calling that early in the morning. And I just thought, man, what a relaxing drive that was. Look, love music, and I love, people are listening to me, hopefully, while they're riding down the road or wherever they may be. But sometimes it's good just to have that silence and just to talk to the Lord, man, and just go, God, where you got me going today? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to meet, and what do you want me to learn?
That's it, man. Silent. Yeah, and we can get, look, we're constantly overwhelmed when you have this phone in your hand now that you constantly, we look at everybody. I'm guilty of it a lot of the times. You're just looking at your phone.
Well, there's never any downtime, right? And it's killing the creative thinking in our country. I mean, in our world. It really is, because we're just all looking at our phones and our computers and our TV. I would get on my boys when they're in high school, be like, hey, y'all are on your phone, call them screenagers, I thought that was funny. And yes, the youngest one finally looked at me and goes, Dad, but your screen is just bigger and it's hanging on the wall above the fireplace and it's always on. And I was like, ooh, a lot of truth to that.
A lot of trees.
But
there's also what you choose to look at.
Sure.
That's the other thing.
Yeah. What is your content? Like you said, your content is everything. I can listen to certain music that I probably shouldn't listen to, or watch shows or movies I shouldn't. Or I can choose to watch things that are appropriate and things that praise the Lord and things that are not demeaning or whatever it may be. And, you know, where do you think that, Craig, where do you think that comes from? Like, I mean, when that moral code, and you know, I call it the knower. I had an old pastor up in Tennessee used to call it your knower. You know, and your knower, if that's right or not, you know, and I knew what he meant, but where do you think that comes from? That moral right and wrong? I mean, you think there's a devil and an angel sitting on either shoulder, or you think it's a Holy Spirit moment versus before you had a Holy Spirit moment?
When I would say younger, it was harder. Younger growing up, I could say the devil was definitely there on the shoulder, you know? And you're always fighting it. And that's how he works. So like even today, I'll still get attacked. He'll throw a thought in your mind that is definitely not of you. You're like, where did this thought, you know, what? And I quickly said, I cast you down to the deepest depths of hell, Satan, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. I literally say it out loud when that thought comes into my head. And you always have to be on protection. But I think really Holy Spirit is definitely our protection. But you have to be with them, you know? You have to be like, what happens when you go up there? He goes, I don't know you. Who are you?
Yeah, depart from me. Yeah. You know? Well, and that's where I believe when you allow the Holy Spirit to take control, we're selfish, right? We've got that sinful, that I want my way. Selfish. It's me. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and change our lives, that's what does it. It's that grace and that mercy of the Holy Spirit that comes in and says, hey, let me get it. I got this. And he allows you to be cool under pressure. He allows you to not get mad in traffic. He allows you to encourage people or to show up for church. Because you're motivated, I believe, by that. And it's that intrinsic motivation that the Holy Spirit, who's a big teacher word there, that the Holy Spirit gives us so that we can go bless others. And, man, I think you're doing a phenomenal job of that. I'm sure your friends and family, just people that knew you when you were younger, myself included, man, I did. But it's just so fun to see you excited and man, just living for the Lord and giving it everything you got. We're going to come back in just a minute and spend more time with Craig and just kind of dig into what he's doing now, what's happening down in that area, and man, just how the Lord's moving. We'll be back here in just a second on Sunday morning. Craig, so proud of you, man. You're just, again, if people could see us 40 years ago or longer, you know, they would be just shaking their head going, I don't believe those two turned out halfway decent, but I think we did. But I just want to thank you and your family, you know. I mean, just we got this opportunity to share with people on the show. But y'all got to understand, man, growing up in Birmingham, Alabama, we were so blessed to have you guys down in New Orleans, right?
Yes.
And we would come down, like, usually at Mardi Gras, and I'm talking, you know, 5 to 13, 14 years old, we would come down for Mardi Gras just about every year. And, man, if you've never been to Mardi Gras, it's a wild scene and just a lot going on and a lot of growing up in a short amount of time as far as a young boy walking around the streets of New Orleans. But it was a different time back then, right? I know it was kind of crazy. It's a whole lot crazier now. But that was just always special times to grow up. My brother and I, we would go, and we just thought we owned the place, and we probably did. And, but saw so many cool things and met so many fun people through the years. But one thing I'll say about our family get-togethers, there was never a dull moment. We always had a good time. We always ate good. And one thing I guarantee you, we always had a good laugh or two, did we not?
Oh, man, the humor from your family, just overwhelming, you know, and well, in ours too. I mean, that's really what you have to have. You have to kind of laugh at things, and no matter how bad it gets, you kind of have to laugh at it sometimes.
Look, it's a coping mechanism. It's a stress relief. You know, years ago, what was it, 30 years ago, maybe, or 25 years ago, I know there was, I'm assuming it's still out there, and no disrespect to anybody that's a part of it, but there's a certain denomination of churches out there that I'm going to call them the laughers. I don't think that's the proper name, but they supposedly get filled with the Spirit, and they fall out in uncontrollable laughter. And there was a church my brother was a part of for years. And I went, it was a charismatic church. Matter of fact, the Charismatic Episcopal Church out in Fairfield. And I went to a service out, or three or four out there through the years. And there was a group of young men in there one day that was part of this laughing congregation, and they fell out in the aisles laughing. And Craig, you know me, if you get me in a funny moment or a serious moment, it's probably even worse, but that just bad humor, ill-timed humor. And man, they got tickled. I started getting tickled, and ever since then I wonder, maybe I'm part of that denomination. I don't know.
You know, like, well, that's funny. Yeah, it's contagious. The laughter is contagious, you know, and that's a good laughter. So I wasn't even aware of that. I didn't even realize they had such a thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's, so
and snakes in some church, you know, they do a lot of different things. And like I said, it's everybody's walk. So just because I've been chosen to go back here, I don't know why, you know, but now I realize.
Right.
And like we talk about things that have changed, you know, like, just my, I'm trying to stay so close to the Lord. And, you know, I know a lot of people look down, they'll say, oh, y'all do that repetitive prayer and all that stuff. And I do a rosary. It's but it's more of a meditation on the passion of Christ and what he went through for us. Like we talked about earlier, you know, the suffering. And, you know, we're praying for his mother's intercession, because like I was talking to you, if I wanted to get a message to Shaw, well, I know to call his mom, because she's going to get that message to him no matter what. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So it's kind of that sort of thing. We've just been gotten so involved. We got our marriage blessed in the Catholic Church. Come to find out, we were living in sin for about 26 years, Shaw.
Okay. All right.
So they do, you know, the Catholic Church does have things. So I had to go through the OCIS classes for a year, and which I am so grateful of, because just learned so much more about the faith.
Well, and you're probably at our age, you're probably versus when you're a young man, you're interested, right? You're searching it out.
Correct.
You genuinely want to know the answers to these questions, as opposed to being a 12, 13, 15 year old kid going, man, I've just got to be here because my parents are making me show up.
Yes, correct. No, correct. And, you know, they still get on me a little bit, because I like bringing up, you know, the crazy talk of the Nephilim. I love talking about all that old stuff.
Right. Yeah. Well, look, it is fun to talk about, and you're right on, man. Everybody's got their own walk, right? We all have, look, we're all doing this thing called life, trying to figure it out. But your walk is your walk. My walk is my walk. And I'm a firm believer in is you got to do you. In my opinion, as long as you keep it about Jesus Christ and just keep your focus on that and what he did for you and what he did for me, you know, that sacrifice that he paid on the cross for us, man, that unbelievably selfless act of sacrifice that God gave us through Jesus, it's that grace and that love and that mercy in that moment that he extended to all of us and said, all you got to do is trust me. And so when we trust him and we say, God, I'm in, I get it. I, you know, you have that Holy Spirit moment. I believe your fate is sealed for eternity. And I don't know how it all works. Being Catholic, being Baptist, being Methodist, being, you know, I've shared this on here before, but, you know, I had a pastor years ago in Columbiana at a Baptist church. I went to church with my grandfather, Pappy, after my grandmother, Meemaw, passed away. And, you know, Mike Miller over there preached a sermon on losing your religion. And I thought, like you said earlier, I thought the church was going to, you know, get struck by lightning, or I was. You know, I was like, what do you mean lose your religion? But he went on to say it's religion has tainted this whole thing, right? And that's the denominations, right? And the split. And he said, we spend so much time and energy focusing on why we're different as opposed to why we're the same. And that's the same as the you know, the Calvary, right? Jesus dying on the cross, and that blood that he paid for you and for me, it's the same blood. And so we need to start spending more time and energy focused on what brings us together as opposed to what separates us. But in the same breath, I think it's important to understand other faiths. I don't understand a lot of the Catholic Church. I don't understand a lot of the Episcopal Church. There's a lot of churches I don't understand about. But it's always fun to have a conversation with people to try to help understand and go, okay, what do you guys do and how do y'all believe it? And what does that mean when you talk about a rosary, right? My grandparents, my dad's parents went to the Catholic Church growing up. And, it's kind of interesting. Mimi was a devout Catholic her whole life. Pawpaw, her husband, he was not. And he was Episcopal. And for 70 years that they were married, he went every Sunday to Mass. He couldn't take communion, but out of the love and devotion to his wife, he went and he sat in the pew. And, you know, he had his time with Jesus, and Mimi had her time with Jesus. And so I always appreciated that. Two different denominations, they came together. Pawpaw said, "Hey, for the peace and for the greater good of the whole family, I'm gonna go to the Catholic Church," and he did. And he never griped about it. He never did anything. So I think it's cool. I don't think we should look at it as, man, well, I'm Catholic or I'm Baptist, and I can't talk to so and so, or I can't have a conversation, or he can't come on a radio show. Man, baloney, man. We are all God's children, and He loves you, and He loves me, and we're just supposed to come alongside each other and encourage one another and share triumphs and share tragedies together and just pray for one another. But I think you're spot on, bro. You keep it about Jesus. Remember, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing.
That's it, man. That's it. And that's where we get lost as humans sometimes on that. We like to, like you said, fight our own.
You know? Well, yeah, we want to be right, you know, and it's yeah. Man, is this world is just, if you know, it's like a ski boat, right? And it's that you're just revving that engine further and further forward, and it's just going faster and faster and faster. The divide and the angst and the social media and all of it, there's just so much out there. But it's, hey, where can we come together? And that's why I love doing this each and every week and having guys and gals on each and every week to just come on and share their heart. And just, I want people to be encouraged. Man, there's enough bad news out there. Let's talk about some good stuff and be positive. And where can we be the hands and feet of Jesus? And I think you're doing a tremendous job of that, man. I'm super proud of you.
Man, I'm proud of you, buddy. You're getting the word out. You're getting the message out. That's really the big thing, you know?
Well, and it is, but again, let's go back to what we were talking about a few seconds ago is, man, it's that Holy Spirit driving me. It ain't Shaw. If it was Shaw, they would have run me out of here, amen. You know, right when I started.
Like I say that when I do my lecture, they'll come up to me after, like, "You did so good." And I was like, "That wasn't even me. I can't even tell you what I said."
Exactly.
Because literally before I go up there, I pray, "Holy Spirit, take over. Please give me these words to say." Because I'll go up there a nervous wreck sometimes, shivering and shaking, and people tell me, "I didn't even notice. It was beautiful." And I'm like, I don't know how they didn't notice that I was, you know, but it wasn't me.
Isn't that wild? That's so cool.
It really was, man. And that's the best. And also, I've learned I need to stop being so selfish. We're very selfish because, of course, you want to think of your best interest. But that's caused me to serve more. So, you know, I've doing the lecturer. I joined the tech committee at church. I do help out if they need, you know, clean up, have to rearrange things. I'm there for that. I joined the Knights of Columbus that gives a lot to the community. So I'm just trying to get more involved and stay close to these beautiful, holy people at my church, you know, because really they are the best. That's, you know, it's the church. It's the community. It's those people that you go to that place with to worship. Yep. And that's where you're going to get the love, and Holy Spirit is in every one of them.
Oh, yeah. Know? Well, it's that being a part of the body of Christ, right? That's surrounding together with other, you know, members of the body is so important. So, hey, let's step away for just a second. We're going to pick it up right there when we come back with Craig McCoy on Sunday morning. Talking about the body of Christ as we were, you know, stepping away in the last segment, and just kind of a good reminder, Craig. We talked about this last week when we were kind of putting this idea together about getting together on the show and just, you know, the church, right? I mean, the body of Christ, it's not the bricks and mortar, you know, it's the people. I know a few years back in this, I guess 2010, 11, somewhere in there, I was working on my teaching degree and full-time student as a dad in his mid-30s. And Janet was such a blessing to us. And it's the only way we made it. She agreed to be the breadwinner during that season. And I was able to go back. And so what I did on the weekends, I was a weekend manager at a Piggly Wiggly grocery store in Columbia, Tennessee. Shout out to Northway. It's no longer there, but we had a great time. But there was a lady in there, Miss Barbara, who unfortunately passed away a little over a year ago. But Barbara and I, we got to know each other pretty well. But Barbara looked at me after I'd been working, because I worked Friday nights, Saturdays as much as I could, and then Sunday mornings. And she asked me one Sunday morning, I was stocking bread. She goes, "Don't you miss being in church with your family?" And I said, "Barbara, I do. But, you know," I said, "when I go in there, you know," I said, "when we go to church, we drop the kids at all their different parts of the building. And then Janet and I go to a class, or I may go teach fifth grade. So we're really kind of isolated inside of that building. And then we all, you know, get done after church and we go grab some lunch. We go home and take naps." So I said, "I really don't get that much interaction with my own family, even though we're going to church together. So this is temporary. It's the only time I can really work. So I'd rather them go to church with Janet on Sunday mornings. I can be here and working and doing what I need to do financially to try to help take care of our family a little bit. And then I'll be home after they get done from naps after lunch, and then we can have all Sunday afternoon and evening together. And so for the season that we're in, I'm okay with it." But then I looked at her and I said, "But you know, Barbara, it's not the bricks and mortar that makes it a church." I said, "It's the people." And she said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "We could have church right here at the Piggly Wiggly." And it was a foreign concept to her, and it was something that the Lord just blessedly laid on my heart. And she said, "Tell me more." And so we just started talking about it, how it is the people. And, you know, the word says, "Where two or more are gathered in his name, there he will be also."
I was just thinking that. I was just thinking that. Where two or more gathered.
Right. And so I said, "We could have church right here at the Piggly Wiggly." And she almost did one of those, "What are you talking about, Willis?" You know, and I said, "No, really, we could." And so it evolved into, so by the time we left that shift that day at the Pig, I said, "Barbara, I'll just prepare us a little something, a little sermon for next week. And we'll, and she said, "Well, you know what? I guess it's a Baptist church, because I'm going to stop at Hardee's and get us some biscuits." And I said, "Okay." So she did. And the following Sunday morning, we had the first ever that I know of church at the Piggly Wiggly. And it was so cool just to see how God used that. And we had other people, the employees at the store that came, and just, it wasn't anything elaborate. It was about a 10-15 minute Sunday morning service before the store opened at 6:30 a.m. And we would just share, I would share a scripture, we would pray together, and we'd eat a biscuit. And it was so cool, because Barbara and I'd always talk about that, how as you went through that day on Sunday, like every customer that came through, or any action interaction that you had with somebody, seemed to revolve around whatever message we talked about that morning. And so I just thought that was so cool. And it's just a good reminder of like what you're talking about. It's, man, you're plugged in back where you started, back where it all began, as the Allman Brothers say, right? But it's also like, man, be where you are, be present, be the body of Christ, and just plug into other people, not the building.
Amen. And bring it out to the world, man. Bring it out to the world. That's where it's got to be, especially right now these days. And that's hard to do. You know, it's easy to stay close to our church family because we know what we get there. And you go out into the world, you don't know what you're going to get a lot of times. You'll be tested, but you got to bring that love even to those people that are nasty, you know?
Especially.
That's really hard to do, you know? Somebody is like this, you want to be a mirror. You want to be the same way they're acting. When I'm trying to learn better and, you know, just try to calm down, let them know that I love them, you know. And some people you just won't reach, but maybe they'll look back after later on that day and go, "Wow, I shouldn't have been so mean to that man." And, you know, maybe it'll be a coming to the Lord moment for them. You don't know, you know.
Yeah, he uses all conversations. I mean, we were talking earlier. Just one smile, just one hug, one pat on the back, one affirmation in some way, shape, or form. You know, sometimes on the short breaks on the show, I'll tell silly jokes or dad jokes. But you know what? People give me a hard time about it. But, man, if one person smiles, it makes it all worth it. Because that's what we got to do. Like you talked about, man, this world is dark enough. It's hard enough, you know, with work and family and just life and bills and blah, 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 blah. There's always one more we can put on our complaint list. But you're right, man, we got to be the light, we got to be the salt, and we got to be the ones out there showing Jesus by being servant-hearted, being selfless. You mentioned that in the last segment, Craig, just about, I think that's the biggest difference I see in you, is just that selfless attitude, right? It's not about me anymore. I think we all fall into that trap, but it's how can I bless other people by getting up and reading the prayers? Or, I mean, are you finding that easier and easier to do the older you get and the more planted you get in the Word?
Oh, yes. Well, and then, you know, and you look at this world and you look at life, you're lucky if you, okay, so 10 years, think about 10 years, doesn't seem like that long, you know, and you may get 80 or 90 of those, you know, you might get, you know, 8 or 9 of those 10 years, if you're lucky. And eternity is forever. You know, eternity is a long time. And that's what really, you know, I just, that is what's hitting me most now is I want to be as clean as I can be because you never know when you're going to be taken. And I want to make sure that I'm there with him, man. That's where I want to be, you know, for eternity. Mm. I don't want to be in the other place. That's for sure.
No.
So.
As old Tom McCoy up at Thompson Station Church in Tennessee used to say, people would ask him, say, preacher, what if you're wrong? What if this is all a bunch of nonsense and it's Jesus is not real and it's just fade to black, right? When this thing ends and we just, it's just like turning the TV off, it's just over. And Tom would sit there and he'd say, well, you know, I'd just say, well, you know what? At worst, I've lived a moral life. I treated people right. And if it does, it does. But he said, I don't believe it does. He said, I believe there is a heaven and a hell. And he said, in my opinion, eternity is too long to be wrong. You know, and I think that's so true because what if, but what if, you know, it's kind of one of those questions. And I don't want to be on the wrong side of that coin for sure.
No. Yeah. Well, and I firmly believe, you know, and that's the thing. You know, I don't question really. I'm grateful for that, you know, like, when I was younger, you would question, is God real? You know, is this really real and all that stuff? And the blessings of today, we're finding all these things. You know, they found the sulfur balls at Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm. They found the rock that was split. You know, history is, they're finding all this, you know, and it's, and then you read just like Josephus. I don't know if you've ever read the writings of Josephus and about, you know, the fall of the temple in 70 AD and just all that. It's all real, you know. It's very real.
It's all being confirmed, isn't it?
It's all being confirmed. And I just, you know, we're in a great awakening. I really do believe we're in a great awakening right now that's stronger than anything we've ever, you know, you've always heard back in, you remember in the early, like, what was it, in the early 90s, the revivals, 80s, 90s, there was a tremendous amount of revivals, tents popping up everywhere, people, you know, and I think we're going to see something so far greater than that, and I think we are seeing it. Churches everywhere are growing for phenomenal numbers. Even the Catholic Church is growing outrageous numbers.
They are. It's so true. It's happening. I mean, I think this generation, I think from about 25, 26 years old and down, I think these kids are seeing a lot of like, man, what is it all about? They're starting to just go, man, there's been a lot of baloney in this world for the last 10, 15 years, and it's time to straighten up and get this thing back in shape. That's something I've said for, you know, when I was teaching, those guys are that age, you know, when I met them in middle school, and now all my guys that have grown up, they're all in their mid-20s, and man, they're standing firm, and they're making good decisions, and it's just so cool to see.
That is so awesome.
It really is. Hey, going to step away for just a minute. Going to come back here and wrap it up with Craig McCoy on Sunday morning. Man, this has been so fun, Craig. Thank you again for coming in, hanging out with us, and just sharing your heart. Super proud of you. Man, you just keep shining your light and being the fun guy that you are. And, man, I think it's cool. You were talking about that early. We all have a journey, right? We all have a walk with the Lord. And, man, just you do what God feels, you know, you feel led to do what you do. And man, as long as you keep Jesus in the center of it, I mean, who's to say what's wrong with anything? So, but man, you are a funny guy. We were talking off air, but man, you had an old impersonation. I'd love it if you break it out for the audience here, because it's one of the best.
Gosh, I don't even know if I can. All right. Well, it was,
is that putting you on the spot too much?
No, Jody would always put me on because every time I would talk to Jody, he would say, "I'll do Mike Tyson, do Mike Tyson."
Yeah, that was a pretty good Jody right there, by the way. I like that. Do Mike Tyson.
No matter where you were.
Uh-huh. You know, that's true.
Well, of course, I'm not going to make any excuses. I really do think he was a very good fighter. I was ducking and bobbing and weaving.
I love it, man. That is great. Mike Tyson, everybody. Mike Tyson in the house. I love it. Back to Jody. He would always call me, and I do silly voices too, but he would call me and just do this one, do that one. And, you know, it's something we still joke about and laugh about, and it always brings a smile. So, again, I'll do them. But he called me one time, and I didn't know this, but he said, "Hey, do an impersonation," and I started doing it, and I bombed. It was a Bill Clinton or something, and I just didn't have it, and I just, it was horrible. And he said, "Man, that's the last time." And he had like a car full of people that he was talking, bragging me up, hyping me up. He goes, "My nephew does this and this and this, and it's just fantastic." And then I did it, and it was just like a complete bomb. So, you know, well.
Yeah, what? But see, he calls you the weird, like you were ready for that. He
right.
He calls you the, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, stage fright, I guess. I don't know what it was. So, but anyway, well, cool, man. Well, listen, it's I'm proud of you. It's just neat to hear your story and what God's doing in your life. And, man, it's just fun. The main thing is that, man, you had that Holy Spirit moment. And, man, you're just going where the Lord leads you, and you're being that obedient servant of Him and just being the hands and feet and showing the love of Christ to the people in your community. And I just think that's super cool. And man, how has it changed you? How has it changed your marriage? How has it just changed your outlook on everything? Just if you could sum it all up, I mean, what would you say?
Oh, I mean, tremendous. Like, look, night and day difference from back in my old days, you know, of course. You know, but I'm still growing, still learning. You're constantly fumbling. So, you know, and you're always going to have fumbles. But as long as, like you said, we keep focused on Christ and do what the Lord would do, and hopefully ask Him, you know, and I pray to it, you know, ask Him, tell me, look, Lord, I'm dumb. Tell me what to do in this situation. Yep. Please be clear, you know, that I know it's You. And you may not hear something for a while, but He will show you. He will tell you. And don't tell people that, though, because they'll think you're crazy.
Yeah. Well, people already think that about me anyway, so that's okay. You know?
You know, I'll be like, wait, God's talking to me.
Well, you're right. I mean, because when I've shared my story with people, and I go, man, I know the Lord again, and when He's speaking to me, it's very clear. And people kind of look at me. And I had students who would look at me and go, Coach, how do you know that, you know, and I was like, ooh, that's a deep question, you know. So you'd have to stop and really just break it down and go, man, I believe God speaks to us in multiple ways, right? He speaks to us multiple. Through His word, obviously, right, when we read the Bible. So I think when you do that, He's obviously going to speak to you. I think He uses other people to speak to you, and I think he can use music. I think there's a lot of different things He can use, but I also believe there's that small... I believe there's that small voice that I know that I hear. And I think that's a correlation of the Holy Spirit. It's not me, but it's just that tuning fork, if you will, in my heart that just goes, okay, I hear that, and because I know it's Him, because it's selfless, right? And it's not Shaw, right? Because if Shaw was in that driver's seat, then it would be a very selfish decision.
It would be something different. And the living word, think about this, man. You'll look at your daily script. You know, I do like, you'll get your daily bread. Different websites have, you know, the daily scriptures. And it's funny how it always seems to pertain to what's going on in your life. That message that pops up or where, you know, maybe you'll just go into your Bible and start reading. And wow, wait, this goes to what's going on right now. And that's another way He speaks to us, you know? And that's the beautiful thing, man. That's the most beautiful, the living word. Mm. It changes. You know, you could read, well, one scripture one day and it means this to you. And then 2 years later you read it and it means a whole different thing to you. But it all relevant. It's all together. It all fits, you know?
Exactly.
It's got it work, man. It's got it work, and it's awesome. And I'm so happy that He chose a wretch like me, dude. You know, I am so forever grateful that I'm able to be here and talk to you about the Lord.
Man, it is cool because, you know, he can use, but he's not necessarily going to use the Michael Jordans and the, you know, politicians and the celebrities and all that. I mean, again, if you watch any of that stuff today, a lot of those people are just, I can't even watch it because it's just so far out there. But he's not going to use the people that have made it necessarily. He's going to use just ordinary people like you, like me, who can sit down and have a conversation with somebody or with other people and just go, man, let me just tell you what God's done in my life. I'm not perfect. I'm not a preacher. I'm not trying to get in anybody's business. I'm just trying to say, hey, this is what God's done in my life. I know when it's real. You could try to fake it, but the stuff that's happened in my life, I know it's genuine because I walk through it, and there's no other reason that I'm still sitting here today than Jesus Christ and the fact that he's not done with me, and he's got a plan for my life, and he's got a plan for your life and everybody else out there. It's just that we got to turn it over to him and go, I'm getting out of the driver's seat, and God, I'm going to let you have the wheel. Take it over.
Amen, man. Yeah, I'm going to leave you with this one thing. Fatima. I'm sure you've heard about Fatima. Mm-hmm. It's a spot where the Virgin Mary appeared to the young children. But first an angel appeared to them, and he told them that they needed to pray. And, well, he comes back later, and they're playing. And they're like, what are y'all doing? I told y'all to pray. And they said, oh, we thought just to play. And he told them this prayer. He said, God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. Mm. I ask pardon for all those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. And I thought that was beautiful because one day they will, mm-hmm. you know, maybe they aren't there yet, but they will.
Oh, yeah.
So
they will. And that's such a beautiful prayer. That's so selfless. I like that. That's a good one. That is very good. So
yeah, I love it. Yeah,
man. Well, bro, keep up the good work and just keep the faith going. Always fun to hang out and talk to you. And just, man, that's what's fun about getting to do this is like I have conversations with you. I have conversations with people that I have on here all the time. But it's just like our conversations when we're on the phone with each other. And it's genuine. It's real. And, man, I'm proud of you. I love you. And I just think you're doing a phenomenal job. And just, man, you just keep on keeping on. And man, the Lord's going to bless you and continue to bless you.
Amen, brother. I love you. And the same to you, man. You're doing just amazing. If they know what you have been through and where you are now, they would be amazed.
and that's where you just sit back, Greg, and go, man, only God. I mean, it's I'm nobody special. The only thing I can tell you that I did years ago is I said, God, I'm in. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. And that was after, this was before cancer. This was after a job loss in 2009. And for the first time in my adult life, I said, God, here I am. Send me. I get it. Help me find the people that are hurting. And for the last 18 years, it's just been like, okay, here's another one. Here's another one. And that's what's so fun about having people on like yourself is like your story is your story. But people are going to hear it, and they're going to be like, man, I identify with that, man. I grew up in the Catholic Church, or I'm mad at the Catholic Church, or whatever. But, man, let's just get through life. Let's just try to keep encouraging one another and keep having conversations. Because when we isolate, when we disconnect, and we go, well, I'm better than them, or I'm not good enough to be in that circle, baloney, man. We're all created in the image of Christ, and so he loves us all. And, you know, we can't change this whole world, but we can change our world. And it starts one conversation at a time, and it starts with you, and it starts with me. So keep doing your thing, bro. I love you. I'm proud of you. And, man, I'm going to be checking in with you. When we may have to have you come back from time to time just to give us an update on what's going on down there in the New Orleans area.
Well, yeah, only if you get positive response from the audience. They might say, hey, get your cousin on
it. Hey, listen, if they're still letting me come on here, they're going to keep letting you here on, brother. So, but anyway, hey, thanks again. And thank you, listeners, everybody, for checking us out. If you're inspired or encouraged or any of it put a smile on your face, just know that was the Lord. And, man, we don't know all the answers, but we're just trying to week in and week out, try to be an encouragement and let people know that Jesus loves them. And if you like what you heard, come on back again next week, and we'll do it again.